Well, yesterday, the Prime Minister, I don't know, would you say he followed through on this promise to bring in income splitting? On the one hand, I guess they said they would do it when the budget is balanced. I don't know that the budget's totally balanced just yet.
Well, Joe O says it will be by next year.
And I don't know that this is truly income splitting, that a Canadian would be able to, next year, move up to $50,000 in income over to a spouse. But that would get a tax credit. It would result in a tax credit of $2,000, up to $2,000. So it's kind of income splitting. On top of that, they're going to raise the universal child care benefit. It'll be $160
for kids
up to six, and then $60 a month for kids all the way up to 17 now.
No one can put a price on your children. Well, the Prime Minister can put a price on your children. He did $160 when they're young and adorable, and then $60 when they get to the misbehavior stages.
All right. So this is aimed at kind of middle-class families with younger children. I am a middle-class member of a middle-class family.
You got paid yesterday.
We have middle-class children. So I don't know. I guess this is really kind of aimed at me. I don't know if it's a disclosure or just an observation of the obvious, but I stand to benefit from it.
Well, does your wife work?
She does.
Will she reconsider that position now, that stance on employment now that there's so much to gain from not working?
Perhaps. Well, she was working part-time up until recently.
Okay, look, I joke a little bit about it. And before we get to Derek Rogowski, the Senior Vice President of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, for his thoughts on income splitting, it was peculiar to me. I mean, this has been such a great big plank, right? And we've talked about it. It was contentious because Jim Flaherty said, well, it's not necessarily a great policy. I would probably fight the Prime Minister a little bit on it. But, you know, the road is clear for the Prime Minister to go ahead with this promise that he made back in 2011 and that upon further study is a bad idea. And the only reason I say that is because pretty much every economist, most pundits are telling you the same thing. Now, why do it all with the child tax benefit? Like, why not just come out and say, we can finally follow through with this. We've gotten the economy. We've gotten the budget in a place where we can finally deliver on this promise that we made to you 5 years
ago.
Well,
it did change. It did change.
Yeah.
Because income splitting would be for all couples, theoretically, whether or not you have children. Just your two people, you make X number of dollars in total.
But that's not what it was,
then you
though.
Split it in half.
That's not what it was, though.
No, I know, yeah. So it's now become more of a children-families kind of thing because the universal child care benefit is, it's kind of like their child care. It's like the counter to the national child care. The conservatives, as we saw back in 2006, they prefer to give money to families. So that's what this is. It's all been rolled into one big package of, hey, you middle-class families, we're on your side.
Yeah, I guess what I'm afraid of is that it's part and parcel, right? As opposed to two separate policies, it now looks like, well, if you want this, then it comes with this. Because the first thing, like the child benefit, I buy that. I think that's good policy. But this latest thing, let's have someone convince me. Derek Rogowski joins us right now. He is the Senior Vice President of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So give us your thoughts, first blush, on what income splitting it means to Canadian families and whether or not you think this is positive or negative policy.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's always a good day when parents and families are able to keep more of their own money in their pockets and be able to make the child care choices that best suit their families. But we have to remember why income splitting was kind of proposed in the first place. Dr. Jack Mintz, who's at the University of Calgary, in a paper he did for us in 2008, just recognized that families that had one income earner or maybe one who was earning more and one who was earning considerably less were getting taxed more than a similar family with a similar kind of income, yet that income was being earned sort of more equally amongst the two spouses. So income splitting really is about correcting that inequality that was in the tax system, and the announcement yesterday doesn't quite cover that for everybody, but it certainly covers it for a lot of families. Probably about 1.7 million is what the finance department was predicting.
All right, so would we call this income splitting, though? I mean, you've made the case for it, and you're right. I mean, Jack Mintz, who's a pretty respected economist, really strongly believes in it, even if he might be in the minority amongst economists. But what we got yesterday isn't quite income splitting, is it?
Well, it does. It's just that it's for a smaller group of people. It's not for every couple, every family, but certainly for those that have children under the age of 18, there's going to be this ability to take up to $50,000, which is a considerable amount, and it is capped at $2,000, and I think that's in response to the outcry that sometimes more of the rich or higher income families were going to benefit from this. But the reality is it will address to some extent that inequality that already existed in the tax system. And by capping it, it really pinpoints it at middle income and low income families.
Well, but higher income families still profit the most by it. I mean, to top out, to max out on the program, you have to have a lot of money. You have to make a lot of money. You have to be able to transfer the full $50,000 pop from the top marginal tax bracket down to a spouse who would be in a lower one.
But is someone earning $100,000 and someone else earning zero?
Yeah.
Right? Is that, I don't know, is that upper?
Well, no, but someone who's earning, somebody who's earning $300,000, somebody who works in an oil company here and has a wife or a husband that doesn't work, you know, can transfer $50,000 out of a $400,000 salary. Why do they need that money? I agree that it makes it fair on tax, but it doesn't make it fair.
Right? Because there's going to be that same family that's out there maybe earning $150,000 and $150,000, and so they have capped it, so it doesn't become a huge benefit for those that are higher income. But because most of the federal tax system and most provinces have a very progressive tax rate system, as a result, you're right that sometimes the rich are going to benefit, but that's because they're paying a large percentage of their income in taxes.
Yeah. No. Look, I mean, that's going to happen. I think the government would be better off lowering income tax rates than doing this. But if we lowered income tax rates, someone earning $350,000 a year would benefit.
Right. And certainly, and that was one policy option that we had suggested as well. But I think that other than in Alberta, the idea of a flat tax really gets those sort of left of center quite up in arms, even more so than income splitting.
I guess does a flat tax kind of do the same thing then?
Yeah, well, it certainly does. Yes. Yeah. I mean, for provincial rates, it certainly does that, and it would accomplish the same thing. The challenge is I think politically, a flat tax, like I said, other than in Alberta, it seems to be a very difficult sell in Canada.
So this does. I agree that this is more fair, like this adds to the fairness argument that Jack Mintz put forward, but it doesn't do anything about income inequality, which seems to be where, you know, policies like this are supposed to help middle-class Canadians. I mean, I can't believe what I'm saying because I don't necessarily stand behind such words, but this to me is just really bad policy designed to buy votes, and I don't think it effectively does that.
Well, I think you have to look at what are the alternatives that are being bandied about, and I think that many of the folks that are opposed, not all, but many of them are proposing big government programs such as a huge subsidized daycare system that, as StatsCan showed yesterday, that, you know, not even 50% of families take advantage of that type of care. And so I think any time that you can put money back into the pockets of, or essentially let parents keep their own money, let's get that right, is that they can keep their own money and make those choices, I think that's a good direction for tax policy. Now, politics probably plays into this, and, you know, I'm glad I'm not a politician and have to make those kind of calculations and those types of things, but I just think that this is a good direction, especially with the alternatives that are being thrown out there.
Wouldn't raising the basic personal amount or just giving a broad decrease in income tax across the board to all Canadians, wouldn't that be more effective in allowing Canadian families to keep more of the money they earn?
Well, certainly the concept of a flatter tax rates and so as a result lowering the higher tax brackets, I think that absolutely would be better, but it just doesn't seem to be politically palatable in Canada outside of Alberta.
Well, there's also the child care tax deduction, the tax deduction side on child care. We could raise that. That would also be simple.
But I'm not even asking about, I'm not even asking about a flattened tax or even just lowering the top tax bracket. I'm saying if everybody paid 2% less income tax, then we would all have more money in our pockets, whether or not you have a family or not. Wouldn't that be better?
Well, I guess the costs with that are certainly more than what's being even proposed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
so
about,
I think that's one of the challenges too. Is I mean, you know, the surpluses are growing, and you have to, and as they grow, I hope that the government will find you know, additional ways to put money back into families' pockets, because I think that's the best place where it belongs.
What about on the social policy side of things? You mentioned the NDP's proposal for national daycare, something the Liberals once pushed for. You know, it's often argued that you know, empowers women to get into the workforce. You see more women working as a result of having those child care options. The argument against income splitting here is that it's a kind of a retrograde policy. It's aimed at keeping women at home. It sort of perpetuates this man works, woman home makes kind of model that critics say is from the 50s, all of these kinds of arguments. What do you say in response to that?
Well, actually, the NDP's policy or the proposal of this national subsidized daycare program, it really limits choices for families because it really pushes you into one direction, and that's a subsidized national government-run daycare program. But the reality is when you ask parents what are their preferences, you know, over 75% across Canada, it doesn't really matter what political party you favor. People prefer to have one spouse stay at home. And more that spouse happens to be the male. And so it's not as though this is just this is some sort of attack on women's choice or their ability to work. I live in a community with lots of young families, and I see a lot of gentlemen staying at home and taking care of the children while the wife goes off to work. And so this gives them choices and allows them to make those types of choices. A national daycare program is going to do very little for shift workers. It's going to do very little for those who choose to have a relative or a family member, or for those who find other kind of ways to care for their children. And so I think putting the money back into the pockets of families, allowing them to make the decisions that best fit their family and their values is the right direction.
All right, Derek, we're going to take a commercial break here, if you don't mind hanging on the line, please.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Derek Roguski, he's the Senior Vice President of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. We'll be right back after this. Derek Roguski is our guest. He is the Senior Vice President of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Asking him for his reaction to yesterday's announcement from the Prime Minister on income splitting. It seems to me, though, that we're having this conversation in the context of just the offers that are on the table from the political parties thus far. But to me, it's more about what would be the most effective, you know, tax policy. And this one is not very effective because it only affects a small portion of Canadians. And even in those portions that it affects a very small amount to a tremendous degree. Does that matter?
Well, when you're looking at the income splitting concept alone, because you got to remember there was two other tax cuts that were or tax credits that were introduced yesterday. But remember, the income splitting is to correct an inequity that existed in the that exists in the current tax system. And I think it needed to be addressed, and the Conservatives have come through on that promise as of yesterday to do that. But then you've also got the expansion of the universal child care benefit, and so I think parents are going to benefit from that, and those with now children even up to the age of 17 are going to have extra money coming back to them. Of their hard-earned tax dollars that are going to come back, that they can choose to spend however they feel is best, whether that's saving for education or whether that's for child care or whether that's for sports fees or whatever it might be. But now parents have that choice. And then they've also expanded the amount that you can deduct for child care expenses. And so for those that do choose to use paid child care, they're going to benefit as well. So I think it's a well-rounded tax package that again puts money back into families' pockets, which I think is just the right thing to do.
Well,
it's good policy.
But I mean, as you mentioned, we do have the child care tax deduction. It's going to go from $7,000 up to $8,000. So, if we already have that, and the government could even make it higher if they wanted, to do on top of that the universal child care benefit, it just seems almost redundant. That seems more like a spending program than a tax cut.
Well, but you have to remember that not everyone uses paid child care, and yet they still have a lot of expenses. As I think you mentioned that, I mean, you've got young kids. I've got some teenagers. These little ones are not cheap to raise, and I think as parents, we are the most efficient welfare system out there by and large. I mean, the role that parents do in preparing the citizens for the next, the citizens for kind of the next generation that are going to lead us and care for us and all those types of things. I mean, that's a huge role, and I think there is some benefit for society by making sure that families have the financial resources to do that well.
Well, families with kids, because I have a family, but we don't have any kids. My family's my wife and I, and if she decided she didn't want to go to work, I wouldn't get to split my income with her. She has to qualify for this program by making at least one baby.
Right.
But my question,
conservatives... Rob, I just think that eventually we need to get to that, and hopefully that the government will. Obviously with surplus is not, huge yet, but hopefully they will get bigger, and then they can address that so that there's income splitting, I think, for all couples or all families.
Why is it that sometimes conservatives get really upset about the concept of wealth redistribution, but this is good policy?
Well, I'm not so sure this is really wealth redistribution because it's really returning money back into to families. About 4 million households are going to benefit from this, so that's a large number of Canadians. I just think that of all the things that we are spending money on and doing things on, that this is actually a really good alternative. The alternatives that seem to be out there are more and more government-run programs, which my colleague Andrea Mrozek has done a lot of research on that and has shown in Quebec that the costs just balloon. We're seeing something similar with the all-day kindergarten in Ontario where costs just seem to grow and grow and grow, and it's put strains on other services, other important services like healthcare, like infrastructure.
The universal child care benefit, though, it does seem to have one thing in common with the concept of government-run daycare, and that it's universal. So government-run subsidized daycare is available to anybody, whether you're rich or poor. Same
right.
thing here. I mean, we're making it universal. We're mailing checks each month to people who don't need them. That doesn't seem an efficient way of helping people.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that everyone that gets that check would agree with you that they don't need it. I think a lot of people really appreciate that. And again, I think it's just a recognition that parents are play an important role in preparing the generation to the generations to come, and the work that they do and the costs that are involved with that.
All right. Derek, we're fresh out of time. Thank you so much for your thoughts today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot,
guys. Thanks again. Take care. Derek Rogusky, Senior Vice President, Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.